Yes, Mila, thank you so much, Brother Ari Ashraf, for the introduction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our time together, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone, and thank you so much for joining this second part of the Iman series organized by NUSMS. And really hope that this journey together with all of us, as we learn a little bit more with regards to the articles of faith, will allow us to not only strengthen our faith, come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but will be able to be something, it means a tool that can help us to make sense of our faith, inshallah. Okay, so Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inshallah, as for tonight, I'll be sharing or I'll be continuing our conversation on the essence of Iman, particularly for the article number 3 and number 4. Okay, so article number 3 speaks about to believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's quite interesting when it says books, because more often than not, we will always relate the Quran to the book, and Quran is only one book, right? So what are the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to believe in as well? And at the same time, we will inshallah look at pillar or article number 4, and that will be to believe in the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or also known as his messengers, inshallah. Okay, so allow us to have a little bit of a recap as to the main hadith that we are referring to with regards to our conversation on the articles of faith. So if you take a look at Sahih Muslim, there's a very, very long hadith or long narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that speaks about the experience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meeting Jibril. But Jibril came in the form of a man, where he also came in the presence of the rest of the companions. But then again, the companions did not know that that was actually Jibril. So Jibril came to teach, right? The companions at that point in time, and of course for us in today's time, through this chain of narrations about our own religion. So that was where Jibril asked Rasulullah, right, tell me about Islam. And he also asked about faith. Tell me about faith. And thereupon, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied with this. He said, Qala, the Prophet said, "And tu mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wa tu'min bil qadri khairihi wa sharrihi." So the Prophet shared that to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of faith, right? And what comes along with that is to believe in the angels, believe in his books, believe in the messengers, believe in the last day, and to believe in providence, its good and its harm. So towards the end of the narration of the Prophet, we see that the Prophet told his companions that Jibril came to teach you about your religion. And if we take a look at this explanation of the Prophet to what faith is all about, we see that there are a lot of the components, right, that we need to work on to believe in. And it is not something that, oh, okay, today I choose to believe in Allah and his angels. Tomorrow I choose something else, right? It needs to be a wholesome approach. And this is definitely the framework that we need to adopt with regards to our faith when we say that we are Muslims, when we say that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. Okay, so for those of you, if you are only joining us tonight, I hope that you can catch up on the first two articles of faith that we have discussed about previously on SUMS social platforms, also on Spotify, right? But inshallah, tonight, we'll just zoom into the third one, okay? And that will be to believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we take a look at the term book itself, right? And if you take a look at the linguistic definition, if you take a look at how it is defined, we all know what a book is, right? We all know the plural to books. We all know the singular to book itself. And we also know that a book is that which when things are written, right, within it, or when written matters are compiled into one. So that is what also we will call or we will refer to as books. But when we take a look at the Islamic perspective to the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his verses, and also the way that Rasulullah highlighted in the hadith earlier about our articles of faith, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would refer to book as a matter that contains the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A matter that contains the commandments from Allah, the guidance from Allah, the instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through that as well, we are able to extract ways of performing our ibadah, performing our worship, and many of the means of guidance throughout not just this life, but also the next as well. Okay? Now, if we take a look at this verse from Surah An-Nisa, verse 136, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, Ya ayuhal ladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasulih, wal kitab alladhi nazzala ala rasulih, wal kitab alladhi anzala min qabl, wa man yakfur billahi wa malaikatihi, wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir faqad dhalla dhalalan ba'ida. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon the believers, right? Where he said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed. And what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling upon us for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with the commandment and the instruction to believe. Right, which is why it's called the Iman series also, right? Because it's related to our faith, it's related to Iman. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us for us to believe in, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned here. You can take a look at the translation, okay? So number one, being to believe in Allah. And then the second one is to believe in His messengers, okay, all within the list. And then the third one is to believe in the books. So it's quite interesting that while we are speaking about this third article of faith, where it is to believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also see the mention of the messengers of Allah. And this is where tonight's conversation will be quite interesting, because these two pillars are very much close to each other, where we will learn, inshallah, that these revealed books or these revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not sent down on its own, but it was sent together with the messengers of Allah. And which is why in this verse, Allah provides us with the instruction, right, to believe in Allah, to believe in the messengers and the books that were sent down upon His messenger and the scripture which He sent down before. So at least for us at this point in time, we know, right, that the one that was given the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. the Quran, was through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And this is where we are able to resonate to this part of the verse, where it refers to the Quran. But when we take a look at what comes after that, Allah says, "Wal kitab alladhi anzala min qabl," and the scripture which He sent down before. So now we are given a means of clarity that, okay, it means that before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number one, there were prophets before him, right? Rasulullah was the last prophet, Khatamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen. And second point that we begin to learn here is that not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down prophets before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but He also sent down revelations as well. And here we see that it is referred to or translated to as scripture. Okay, where we will take a look at it in a bit, inshallah. But if we take a look at the Arabic term that is used here, in the same way it uses the term al-kitab. Okay, and kitab is the Arabic word for books. Okay, a book. Books would be kutub, right? So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with, and whoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day has certainly gone astray. Okay, so now we are seeing with clarity, right, what has been shown to us, right, and what has been commanded to us with regards to our article of faith. Now, interestingly, right, we are also presented, you know, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His verses, that when it comes to believing, right, in these books or in the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not just for us to put an action to it, but it is also something that has been exemplified or practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Right, and here we see in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 285, where Allah says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun kullun amana billah وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا وغفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. So the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned by Allah, has believed in what was revealed to him from his Lord and the believers. So what are we getting here? From here, we understand that not only that the Quran was sent down together with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through, you know, periods of revelations, but while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam believes in those revelations, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also believes in the revelations that came before him through the believers of the past, right? And of course, that would be through the messengers and the prophets before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about all of them. Now, who is all of them? All of them is referred to, again, right, the past prophets, the past messengers. And at the same time, it is also referred to those who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of time, right down to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of them have believed in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. And what do they say? They say, we make no distinction between any of his messengers. La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. And what do they say? Wa qalu sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Right, we hear, we obey, we seek your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is the final destination. So at this point in time, what we are seeing through the examples of our prophets, our past prophets, and also the generations that come before us, the nations that come before us, is that when they believe in the revelations of Allah, when they believe in the books in which that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, it is not just because of the prophet. It's not just because of the time that they lived in. It's not just because of the things that they think was true. But at the end of the day, we see that they say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. When it is a commandment of Allah, we hear. When it is a commandment of Allah, we obey. Right? And of course, while we continue to obey Allah, while we continue to believe in Allah and hear the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will surely be moments, right, where we fall into despair, where we fall into our own sins, our own misdeeds, and that is where we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir, and our Lord, and to you is the final destination. Okay. Now, going back to the earlier idea, right, about what does it mean to believe in the books of Allah? And some of the verses that we have seen, it speaks about two things, right? It speaks about the Quran that was revealed together with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One. And then number two, it speaks about the scriptures. Now, this is where it is demonstrated or further explained to us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 48, where Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومهيمنا عليه فاحكم بينهم بما أنزل الله ولا تتبع أهواءهم عما جاءك من الحق لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا ولو شاء الله لجعلكم أمة واحدة ولكن ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم فاستبقوا الخيرات إلى الله مرجعكم جميعا فينبئكم بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. Now, this is where we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, has mentioned firmly in the Quran about the revelations, right? And again, we see similar mentions. What are they? Number one, and we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, the book, i.e. the Quran, in truth. And not only that we see the mention of the book, we are also seeing this term, wa muhaiminan alayh. And what are they? They are the scriptures, right? They are the scriptures from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So earlier it was referred to kutub, right, or kitab, i.e. books. But here This earlier scriptures are now referred to Muhaiminan Alay. And what is Muhaiminan Alay? Right? Muhaiminan Alay, some of our scholars mentioned that it is something that complements what comes after it. It is something that affirms what comes after it. It is something that brings about the truth to what comes after it as well. And here, as we continue the verse, it says, so judge between them by what Allah has revealed, and do not follow their inclinations away from what has come to you of the truth. And it continues with, to each of you, we prescribed a law and a method. Had Allah willed, He would have made you one nation, united in religion. But beautifully, Allah also says, walakin liyabluwakum fima atakum. Right, which says, but he intended to test you in what he has given you and to raise to all that is good. To Allah is your return altogether, and he will then inform you concerning that over which you used to defer. So here we see another mention where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Quran. He also speaks about the scripture. Right? And again, here we are also witnessing that the Quran affirms the existence of previous revelations before the Quran was revealed. And now we have that understanding, right? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down His revelations, in which during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was sent down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happens afterwards was that when we take a look at during the time of the Caliphate of Abu Bakr, right, there were efforts to begin to write, there were efforts to begin to compile, but only during the time of Uthman ibn Affan, right, where everything was systematic, and then throughout the years they begin to slowly enhance the Quran, not change the words or change the meanings, but enhance it with strokes, with dots, with indications to be able to help people to read the Quran better. And if you take a look at just this verse, right, just this verse in itself, maybe I can just zoom into like one word, maybe this one. Okay, wa'anzalna. This word, wa'anzalna. So this is the Quran that we are seeing today. Okay, so for your information, when the Quran was first written, right, maybe if I can change this to like white. Okay, so when the Quran was first written, right, you don't see all of these things. And this one, yeah. So it kind of looks like this, right? So if you understand the context, and if you learn a little bit more, if you want to read up on this, on Tadwin al-Quran, right? The way how the Quran was written, how it was compiled. We learned that during the earlier days, right? During the times of the companions, they will all read the Quran in this manner, right? So imagine for us, if there's no strokes, there's no dots, there's no guidance as to how we are able to identify one letter to another, one word to another, it would definitely be a big task, right, for us in itself. But as you know, the Quran goes through time, and we also have scholars, earlier pious predecessors who contributed, right, ways of recitation to the Quran. That is where we are able to see all of these strokes, all of these dots, and so on. But at least for the companions during the time of Rasulullah, the people who wrote it, and the people who lived during that time as well, they were definitely familiar with the language. And when they take a look at this, they know what this word is. They know how this can be recited. But for us, right, just begin with no dots. Do I know this is the letter Ra, or this is the letter Za? Is this the letter Nun at the end, right? Or is it Ta, or is it Ba, or is it Tha? So we're going to have a hard time because Arabic language is not our first language, right? And Alhamdulillah, right, through those times, we are presented with dots. Right, and then after dots, there were strokes as well. So again, all of these are guiding indicators for us to be able to recite, and not just us, but of course, for believers around the world and those who want to recite the Quran. Okay. All right. So how did I get there? Okay, never mind. Now, so going back, right, to the matters pertaining to the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His verses during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus we have the Quran. But now we have an understanding that these scriptures are in reference to what has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the time of past prophets, right? During the times of the believers who lived before us. And there are a couple of books, a couple of scriptures that has been mentioned in the Quran where it affirms their existence. It affirms that those are the revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we will also, inshallah, in a bit learn that they were sent down to specific prophets, right, at specific times. And we will also take a look at the parts of the Quran where it speaks about that particular book or that particular scripture. Okay. Now, so this is it. All that which has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just an overview, you see Torah, right? You see Zabur, you see Injil, and then you also see the Suhuf. Let me just write it down. See? So this is the Torah. And then this is the Zabur. This is the Injil. And then this is the Suhuf. Okay, of course, Quran is also part of this, or that which has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But however, you know, the Quran is something that is close to us, so I will not go there for the meantime. Later on, we will be able to delve into it. But just an overview, right? Here we see that there are four parts to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, right? Of course, plus one together with the Quran. So number one, we have Tawrat, okay, or we can call it as Tawrat. So it is what has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a prophet by the name of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And this is where we can see in Surah Al-Qasas verse 48. I hope it's be enough for you, inshallah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى وَبَصَائِرَ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لَعِلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. So this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we gave Moses, or we gave Musa, what? The scripture, right? And we had destroyed the former generations as enlightenment for the people and guidance and mercy that might be reminded. Okay, so now we are seeing that, okay, I believe in the existence of the Torah, and I believe that when the Torah was sent down during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, they are the words of Allah. They are the revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe in that. Because number one, not only that it is the commandment of Allah. Number two, not only that because it is part of our articles of faith, but because I have a proof to believe in. And that will be through the words of the Quran in itself, where Allah speaks about the revelations before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so that will be number one on the Torah. Now, let's take a look at the second one. Okay, so the second one, we have this book called the Zabur. So for Zabur, okay, it was still revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it was revealed to a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the name of Dawood. And this is where we find in Surah An-Nisa. Let me just take a look. Is it like a bit weird? 1460. Okay. Can you just give me a second? It doesn't look like the verse. Quran.com. Yeah, sorry for the intermission. Let's see. Okay, never mind. So this is not the intended screenshot of the verse. I apologize. Okay. But nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the book Zabur, okay, to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Okay, and in the Quran it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa atayna Dawood Zabur. That was supposed to be the verse. Okay. I don't know what's happening right here, but it's okay. I'll find the verse and let you know. Okay. So wa atayna Dawood Zabur. So, and we have revealed, or we have sent down the book of Zabur to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. So same thing, Right, I believe in the existence of Zabur. I believe in the revelation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to Prophet Dawud alayhi salam, and I believe that it is also part of the articles of faith. So that would be Zabur. Now the third one may be something that you might have interacted with or what you have seen before, and here is what we call the Injil, okay, or maybe a term that you are much more familiar with, and that would be the Bible. So here, the Injil is revealed to none other than Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Okay, and here we see in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 46, where Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَقَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بعيسى بن مريم مصدقا لما بين يديه من التوراة وآتيناه الإنجيل فيه هدى ونور ومصدقا لما بين يديه من التوراة وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. And we sent, following in their footsteps, Jesus or Isa, the son of Maryam, confirming that which came before him in the Torah or in the Taurat, and we gave him the gospel or Injil, in which was guidance and light, and confirming that which preceded it of the Torah as guidance and instruction for the righteous. So again, where do we see the mention of Injil in the Quran? We see here, and we also see that it was sent down to Isa ibn Maryam, right? So Prophet Isa alayhi salam was the son of Maryam. And interestingly, if you notice, there's this one keyword that is happening in this verse, where it says, where is it? Confirming that which came before him. And in a bit, we will take a look at one of the key themes to the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout time. And every single revelation, when it is sent down to another prophet, right, not only that it speaks about the previous book that came before it, but it will affirm, right, the duty of that particular book. And likewise, through this verse, we are seeing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed the revelation of Injil to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And at the same time, it was a matter from Allah that brought about guidance and light. In the same way, how the Torah came to bring guidance to humanity at that point in time. Okay, so those were the three things. So we had Taurat, we have Zabur, we have Injil. Now, remember the word scriptures that I mentioned earlier. So scriptures, more often than not, you refer to this. Okay, and that would be the Suhuf. And the Suhuf or the scriptures were revealed to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, as well as Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And this is where we see in the following verses of Surah An-Najm, verse 36 to 37, where he said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Or has he not been informed of what is in the scripture of Moses, of Musa, and that of Ibrahim, who perfectly fulfilled his covenant? Right, so now if we take a look at it as an overview, we now understand better the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he spoke about not just believing in the book of Allah, i.e. the Quran, but it is also to believe in what has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of time, right? And this includes the Taurat, the Zabur, the Injil, as well as the scriptures or the Suhuf. Now, when we speak about believing, right, in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are some of the concepts or the framework to that part of the belief, right? When I say that I believe in the books of Allah, how do I know that I am really believing in the books of Allah, right? And this is where I have laid out a couple of things for you to think about and ponder, whereby number one, the concept of belief in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include to affirm wholeheartedly, right, upon the books as revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it contains his words. So it does not contain the words of anyone else or anybody else, but that of Allah. And it comes from no one else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, from the beginning of time down until the Quran. The second one is to believe that every revelation commands humankind to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So in the earlier verses, we see that they were sent out as a means of guidance, they were sent out as a means of reminders, and every single one of them came with that number one messaging. Right, and that would be to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it also describes to the people the idea about Tawheed, the concept of Tawheed, where Tawheed is all about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the commands to humankind to worship Allah, it is in reflection to that of Tawheed, right? And that would be to worship the one, and that is Allah, and there is no one else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and then the subsequent one speaks about to accept that each revelation affirms one another. So this was what we have seen earlier, right? So every single time Allah has sent down a subsequent revelation, it comes to affirm what has been revealed before it as well, right? To affirm that yes, those that which were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But it does not state for you to believe in the current content that is in those things, right? Because only when we take a look at the Quran, the Quran is the only book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned of His promise to take care of those books, right? And which is why when the Quran came down, not only that it came down to affirm the previous revelations, but it is supposed to be the one that is most complete, the one that is enough to the point that we do not need any more revelations. We do not need any more books. We do not need any more prophets after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and of course, because we are also living in the end times right now. So the subsequent point is to believe in the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned for each of the revelations. And how do we know the names? It was by looking at the verses earlier, right? And the last part is to accept that the early books have been abrogated by the revelation of the Quran. So it will mean that the moment the Quran was sent down, our focus, our main point of reference is that of the Quran. Same thing, right? Earlier there was the Torah, there was the Zabur, and when Injil came down, Injil was revealed, then they focused on believing and referring to Injil as the main source of reference and guidance. And likewise, when the Quran was sent down, right, all of the early books, we continue to believe that Allah sent down those revelations. However, the Quran abrogates the early books. Okay, maybe we can take a few more minutes, if it's okay, to just go through some pointers pertaining the Quran. Okay, so when we speak about the Quran, one that which not only that we believe in, but we follow every single commandment and every single content that is mentioned in the Quran, we see that the Quran for us is a lot of things, right? Number one, it is a source of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way how the previous books, the previous scriptures were revealed. Secondly, many times in the Quran, you will see that it is a source of light in the darkness, right? Where Allah says, verses like yukhrijuhum minaz-zulumati ilan nur. So zulumats would refer to darkness, and then nur would be light. And that verse is really beautiful. You know, those verses that speaks about light and darkness is beautiful because you see that darkness is referred to in its plural form, and that would be zulumats, right? But when it speaks about light, it uses its singular form. Why? Because it speaks about there is only one truth, there is only one God. And it speaks about, yet again, Tawheed. One purpose as well, right? And that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our scholars also provide explanations to what light and darkness is, as mentioned in the Quran, some of which they would say zulumat refers to ignorance, right? And then Nur would then again refer to that of the truth. And of course, the third part, when we contemplate on the revelation of the Quran, we will also see that the Quran was sent down by no other reason but to be a means to provide us with clarity, a means to be a criterion, right? For us to identify what is of truth, what is of falsehood, what is pertaining to Islam, what is not pertaining to Islam, what is in relation to Tawheed, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is isn't. Okay, so this is some of the things that I also want you all to ponder upon as we are going through these times, these moments in our lives right now. And at any point when we are in need of guidance, if you don't know what to do, we find the Quran, right? If we find that we are in the dark, right? Maybe in terms of our own personal struggles, or it could be through our challenges in life, or it could be through some of the moments where you feel like, you know, there is no way out, right? Go back to the Quran, because Allah says the Quran is your light in darkness. And whenever we want to find clarity in life, whenever we want to find the truth to things, whenever we are stuck, right? And then we don't know what to do, whenever we are lost, again, where do we go back to? We go back to the Quran to find those answers. And if we go to the Quran with that intention to find that, know that that will be the thing that you will be able to be shown towards, right? Be guided towards, inshallah. Now, similarly to, I have two more slides, inshallah. So similarly to our conversation last week, right? I shared one book about the major scenes. Today, I also want to share with you quite interestingly this book titled Dusturul Akhlaq fil Quran. And it was written by Abdullah Darros, or Dr. Abdullah Darros. And what Dustur al-Akhlaq fil Quran means is that it is the principles of mannerism, or the principles of akhlaq, the principles of etiquettes, as mentioned in the Quran. And why am I bringing this up? Is for the fact that this is how the Quran and our belief in the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us bring about that positive change, that positive impact in our lives. And here we see a scholar who had written this book to share with us all of the parts that it speaks about akhlaq in the Quran. And here you see 2, 4, 5 things, right? Or 5 categories that has been mentioned in the book from his findings in the Quran, right? Number one, he speaks about al-akhlaq al-faradiyya. So al-akhlaq al-fardiyya means the individual. Individual. Okay. And then number two, we see al-akhlaq al-usariyya. Al-usariyya will mean families. Okay. So what's your etiquette? What's your akhlaq? Your mannerism with your own self, right? With your own families. And then we will see al-akhlaq al-ijtima'iyya, meaning communal or community. And then we have al-akhlaq ad-dawliya, right, which means countries. Okay, meaning being a member of a country, being a leader of a country, and so on. And of course, point number 5 is akhlaq ad-diniya, and that will be with regards to our religion. So if this particular scholar was able to write this book with all of this categorization, it tells us how much in the Quran it speaks about guiding humankind, not just to know what to do in life, not just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to be able to regulate themselves so that they have a good akhlaq, right? And speaking about positive human development, when we believe in the revelations or in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it opens doors to at least 5 of this. Right, when I work on my belief in the books of Allah, when I work on my belief to the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? Number one, it allows me to foster a sense of gratitude, right, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down a manual, a guide for all of us, right? And that which, if Allah did not send this down out of His mercy, then we would not have something to go back to. Secondly, It allows us to learn more about the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we dig deeper into the words of Allah, we are able to explore His wisdom. Point number 3 is beautiful, where it transforms the people who recite the Quran to become people who would seek knowledge. Because the Quran is created in a way that the more you learn, the more you will realize that there are so many things that you do not know. And just think about as simple as Surah Al-Fatiha. Right, personally, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me the opportunity to teach Surah Al-Fatiha again and again and again and again. From one POV, it may seem as, oh, you know, it becomes easier because I'm just teaching the same thing all over again. But if I can be honest with you, every single time that I want to prepare my slides for Surah Al-Fatiha, I learn something new. Every single time that I dive deep into the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, I realize something new. And there will always be something new to teach people and to share with people. And that is the beauty of the Quran, where it transforms the readers, not only that they read, but they also understand and they seek more. Point number 4, through the Quran and through the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it allows us to attain, right, peace and tranquility. And of course, point number five, which is something that is pertinent to our nation, right, the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is al-amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, where the Quran provides instructions and commandments for us to amr ma'ruf. What is amr ma'ruf, right? To continue to enjoin good, and nahi anil munkar means to prevent evil, right? So enjoying goodness. Prevent even. Okay. This, you know, the list is really, really extensive. It does not only stop at these five things. But know that when I believe in the articles of faith, it's not just, oh, I believe in Allah, I believe in the books, I believe in the angels and so on. But it's to realize that when I work on that belief, it transforms me as a person. And I hope that we can continue to bring this understanding to our subsequent pillar. But I will pass it back to our MC for tonight, inshallah.
Thank you, Ustazah Hidayah, for the insightful sharing. Inshallah, we will all be able to benefit from your sharing. So before we move on to the next sharing, we will have a quick quiz segment where participants can just join in and participate. It will be through a Zoom poll, just to summarize whatever we've understood from the sharing. And then after that, Ustazah can help to clear up any misunderstandings that we may have. Right, so we will be sending the Zoom quiz shortly. Right, so on your screen, you should be able to see some of the questions that we have prepared. No pressure, just answer. And inshallah, we'll be able to clear up any misunderstandings if we may have. And if we have understood them, alhamdulillah. So the first question reads, what are the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to believe in? The second one is, amongst the belief in his books is to accept that the early books have been abrogated by the revelation of the Quran. And lastly, the Quran brings clarity and all right, we'll be ending the poll in about 5 seconds. All right, so on your screen, you should be able to see the results. Okay, so we see that the first option received the most results. Maybe Sansa, you can clarify the first question for us.
Okay, can. So the first, we're just doing the first one, right?
Yeah, I think the first one. Yeah,
yeah. So
the
the
first
first
option
one,
is the correct answer. Yeah.
the first option is the correct answer. Yes, correct. So what are the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to believe in? That would be the Torah, the books of Psalms, and that would be the Zabur. And then we have Bible, we have Suhuf, and then we have the Quran. I think we also have a strong voting for the second option, which is the Gospels. But if we take a look at Zabur, it is the Psalms, but not the Gospels lah. Because Gospels is what people would refer it to as a part of a Bible. So when you have chosen the Bible or the Injil, then essentially you are choosing the Gospel as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Zaza. Maybe what about the second question? I think we have small pool of response
Yes.
for the false. Maybe you can help us clarify.
Yep. So the second question is true or false. I believe the 12% who chose false, they accidentally pressed the false lah. Actually, they want to choose to choose true. But it's true that amongst the belief in the books of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala or His revelations is to accept that the early books have been abrogated by the revelation of the Quran. Right. So again, meaning when the Quran was revealed, then everybody will just focus on the Quran. The Quran affirms what has been sent before, but they no longer become our source of reference. The only reference right now is that of the Quran. Okay, hopefully that helps.
Thank you, Saza. And lastly, the Quran brings clarity, and obviously, the right answer is the second option. You can help us to
Yes, so
clarify.
the Quran brings clarity and criterion. Of course, it brings confidence. Of course, it brings conviction, right? But when we take a look at many of the verses in the Quran where Allah says Hudan, Hudan wa Furqan and things like that, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on a few of the main themes to the Quran, where his job is to provide clarity in our lives, and its job is to also help us differentiate, right? The truth from falsehood, lah. So hope that is helpful, inshallah.
Yep, thank you, Staza, and thank you everyone for participating in the quiz. Hope we were able to clarify some in misunderstandings that we may have with the books, and hopefully we have been able to summarize and wrap up the first section. So, Staza, whenever you're ready, we'll just move on to the second section on the Prophet. Thank you.
Okay, Bismillah. We hope that the poll or quiz section has allowed you to breathe a little bit before you move on to the next article of faith. And we hope that it is useful, right, for us to help gauge our understanding and to double check, whether our facts and the notes that we are writing is on the same page, on the right path, inshallah. Okay, now let us move on to the next part of our conversation, and that would be the article of faith number 4. And that would be, when we say, "Antu'minu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi," right? To believe in the prophets or the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you take a look at yet again this hadith, right, our main source of reference for this entire Iman series, you will see that the Prophet ﷺ uses the term warusulihi, right? And that would be the messengers of Allah. Now, usually we interchangeably use these two words, right? Prophets, messengers, prophet, messengers. And sometimes there are days we use prophets, there are times we use messengers, there are times we say, "Oh, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ," or the Prophet ﷺ. There are days where we use the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said so and so. And even if you take a look at this translation, we see also the mention of the prophet. So inshallah, in a couple of slides ahead, we will see or we will explore some of the differences, similarities to prophets and messengers so that we are able to use the right terms accordingly. Okay. But before anything else, allow me to bring you to Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 285. And it is the same verse that we had referred to in the first part of tonight, right? And that would be, we saw how close, when it is mentioned of the books, the revelations of Allah, it also mentions together with the prophets, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we have an understanding, right? Each of those revelations, they were revealed to the messengers of Allah, right? The prophets of Allah. And when it is revealed to the messengers of Allah, we also see that the messenger's duty comes along with what has been revealed as well. And also on the other side, or on the flip side, we also understand that when the messengers of Allah, these appointed servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are like all of us, right? They are human beings. It's just that they are appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah protects them, and Allah allows them to go through their own journeys, of da'wah, of preaching. We realize that the way that they would act, how they would, the things that they would say, how they would lead, their community or their nation would follow what has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. Right, and in the same way, we are seeing this verse again where it speaks about amana ar-rasul bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun. Right, the messenger believes in what has or what was revealed to him from his Lord, and so have the believers. And then we go down to the end of this particular verse. Okay, and yeah, interesting point. These two pillars are definitely related to each other, and we are not able to believe in the article of faith where it constitutes to believe in the revelations or the books of Allah if we don't believe in the messengers. Right? Why? Because Allah would have arranged it, right, for these revelations to be sent down to appointed people. Right, and that will be the messengers. And if I don't believe, for example, in the revelations, then my belief system towards the messengers is incomplete. Because what does a messenger do? They send the message, right? And if the message is not there, then why are they called messengers in the first place? Okay. Now, allow me to share with you a little bit with regards to the difference between a prophet and a messenger. How do I use the word prophet and how do I use the word messenger? It is not just in terms of our application, but this will also help us to understand this article of faith, okay, if we apply it accordingly, inshallah. Now, if we take a look at this diagram, okay, what we are seeing is a couple of things. We are seeing, number one, the wahyu, the revelation, right? And where does the revelation come from? It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And what does the revelation contain? It contains messages, it contains commandments, instructions, words of encouragement, words of assurance, motivation, and so on. And who or what or who are they for? Right? They are for humankind. And that is where we see they are at the bottom of this page. Right? So in order for this revelation to reach humankind, it needs to have an intermediary. It needs to have the messenger, as we speak earlier. Right? And that would be the appointed servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so this is where the messengers come in, the prophets come in. Again, they are still servants of Allah, they are still humankind, right? But they are appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the main concern is not really what is the huge difference, you know, between the prophets and the messengers, but it is actually based on which angle we are looking at, right? If we are looking at this means of revelation, right, from the angle where it was revealed to the appointed servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will become one of the two, right? But if this trickles down to the part where it goes to humankind or it goes to that part of insan, then that is where it is one of the two as well. Now, let's take a look at the first two shapes, okay, or these first two pointers. So we have the wahyu, the revelation that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have these appointed servants of Allah, the messengers and the prophets. Now, when the revelation is being sent down or being revealed to appointed servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically that person is a prophet. Because what do? Prophets receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So now we have an understanding that, you know, all of the prophets that we have learned about before, they are prophets because they received revelation from Allah. But the moment, right, this revelation, when it is sent down upon the appointed servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, and it is part of the instruction of Allah for them to pass it down, to share the information, share the revelation, share the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is where they are messengers. Right? So meaning, this is the message. What is the message? The message is a revelation from Allah. And because they pass down, right, this particular message from Allah to their nation, to humankind, then this is where we call them the messengers. Okay? And now we also have an understanding that when Allah appoints his servants, all of them are prophets. Right? But what we need to know is that not all prophets are messengers. Because there are prophets of Allah that has existed throughout time, right? Where they were appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it was not their instructed duty to share that particular messaging. More often than not, because they were appointed in the periods where messengers were appointed and the messengers existed. Right. And if I can also share with you, part of the distinctions, right, to a prophet is that yes, they receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, they are okay. However, they are not instructed to send a message, right? So no message to be sent. Message. Allah is there. Okay, so no message to be sent. Message. Okay, so no message to be sent. But if they don't have a message to be sent, then what is their purpose, right? Why are they there? So they are there to affirm, right? Affirm what has been revealed to the messenger at that time, at that period, or the messenger that came before them, right? So they will affirm the Sharia, the instructions, the legal rulings, what has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. And then more often than not, these prophets, they were appointed, right, to be a guide to their own tribe, you know, to their own group, or to their own village, and so on. So it's very minuscule in that sense. Okay. However, if we take a look at the messengers, right, so we see that yes, they will be sharing or sending out the message, but at the same time, whenever, right, a messenger is appointed, it comes with a new Sharia. It comes with a new, how should I word it? A new okay, I'm not getting the vocabulary, but it's okay. It comes with a new Sharia whereby, right, the humankind or the nation at that point in time would need to follow, right? So for example, a person, right, they live during maybe a very long time, so they witness one messenger, right, the first messenger, and then when a new messenger comes along that has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes with its own new sets of legal rulings, right, laws. And when this new messenger comes and it comes with that new Sharia, it would then abrogate, right, the previous ruling or the previous Sharia, and they will follow this recent or this new messenger. Okay, so this is roughly how we are able to distinct between the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and these messengers. Okay, and why are we going through this? Is for the fact that if you take a look at you know, throughout history, you know how we are so familiar with these 25 prophets as revealed in the Quran, right? These prophets are actually messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, right? And they are the 25 prophets, 25 messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know as they are revealed in the Quran, right? For us to learn about their experiences, and through the challenges that they have faced and braved through life are the ones that we can find motivation in as well. Right, but if you did not know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, right, his prophets throughout time, there were many of them in which that it was not enumerated. Some of our scholars mentioned that there could be up until 300,000 prophets throughout time, but of course we did not live during that time. And again, as I mentioned earlier, right, when prophets, they were appointed by Allah to affirm those messagings, some of which they were revealed in their own tribes, they were revealed in their own places, in their own villages, and some their area of influence is just in their own families, which is very, very interesting, right? But when we take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, right, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that not only that he is a prophet, but he is also a messenger of Allah. Right, and here it says in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 52, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول ولا نبي إلا إذا تمنى ألقى الشيطان في أمنيته فينسخ الله ما يلقي الشيطان ثم يحكم الله آياته والله عليم حكيم. So we see that it is mentioned, and we did not send before you any messenger or prophet, except that when he spoke or recited, the shaitan threw into it some misunderstanding. But Allah abolishes that which shaitan throws in, then Allah makes precise his verse, and Allah is knowing and wise. So here we see, right, again, when it mentions the prophet, it mentions the messengers, it will also be closely related to the revelations, the scriptures, right, the books. And here we see that throughout time, when after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, right, the revelations and the books, we also see that throughout time, you know, shaitan intervened, right? There were changes that made, there were additions, subtractions, you know, people practice the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on what they like, based on what they want, and they leave that which does not were not in favor of them. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abolishes, right, what the shaitan throws in it, Allah then makes precise his verses. And when Allah made precise his verses, this is where it is referred to the Quran. Okay. All right. So I think that is okay. All right. Now, why do we need messengers in the first place? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed messengers for us? This is where we are able to see a couple of pointers, and hopefully they are useful for you, inshallah, whereby the reason we need messengers in our lives and why Allah sent, you know, prophets and messengers throughout time is to teach us so many things, right? Number one, to teach humankind to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to deliver the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Knowing Allah, and then comes the commandment. And through the messengers as well, we are able to access glad tidings from Allah. We are able to access important reminders and even warnings for those who go astray. Beautifully, through the messengers, it is also to help us foster that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the messengers as well, we are able to be guided, right, as to how we are able to regulate our life right now, and of course, you know, the life in the next, in the hereafter. And the existence of messengers are to also provide us with a brief with regards to the existence of all of the other realms, right? For example, the realms of the shaitan, the realms of the jinn, right? The many realms, the many islands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, right? And of course, to free from false belief and submission, right? To let us know that what is of truth, who is Allah, so that we are able to foster that relationship, inshallah. Okay. And then also to become the best examples to humankind. And that was something that, and that is something that we greatly see in the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he was sent to us, right, to perfect good character. And which is mentioned in this slide. Okay, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only that he was sent as a messenger of Allah, not only that he was sent as a mercy to all of the worlds, but he was also two things. Number one, uswa hasana, and number two, to portray husnul akhlaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 21, where he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. So there has certainly been for you in the messenger of Allah an excellent pattern, أسوة حسنة. And who is this excellent pattern for? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For anyone whose hope is in Allah. And the lastly, وَذَكَرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often. I just want to take a bit of time to just touch on why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an excellent pattern. Uswa hasana. Right? There are many other Arabic terms that you can use to mention a good example. Right, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights uswatun hasana, There's another thing, you can call it qudwah hasanah as well. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the term uswah hasanah, right? And here it is translated as an excellent pattern. What it really means is that those who follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only that they will have, of course, a good life in this world and in the next, but they will leave a legacy that will benefit people greatly. And this is actually demonstrated through the companions of the Prophet, through our scholars, through pious predecessors, where that when they die, right, when they die, when they pass away, not only that, they pass away and, essentially, people don't forget them, right? Reality is people know about them. People learn their names. People learn their contributions. Because that is the promise of Allah in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 21. That when you follow the footsteps of Rasulullah, not only that you will be acknowledged by Allah, but you will also be acknowledged by the people. You will be remembered by the people. How many of our scholars, how many of our companions would have thought that their names would be mentioned in 2023? Right, at least 1,400 years after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hijrah, they would have never thought of that, right? And some other common names that you have heard, Sumayyah, Ainul Mardiyah, Rabi'atul Adawiyah, the names of our scholars, Imam Ash-Shafi'i, all of these, they continuously become remembered throughout time, not because they were great people, not because that they had great contributions, but because they followed this uswa hasana, they followed this excellent. And who is Rasulullah? Tammima husn al-akhlaq. I was sent down to perfect good character. So there are parts of the narrations of the Prophet where he mentioned he is bu'istu liutammima salih al-akhlaq, liutammima makarim al-akhlaq, and here we say husn al-akhlaq, where Rasulullah is here to be our best example, one that we are able to follow through, so that we are able to distinguish between the truth and falsehood, so that we are able to learn more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we are able to experience, right, all of these things in the basis of our needs to messengers. Now, last but not least, before I pass it back to our MC for tonight, is a dua for us to seek clarity in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down His revelations, the books, the Quran, the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down His prophets, His messengers, for all of the reasons that we have discussed tonight, the number one primary objective, right, on top of guidance, on top of light, in the darkness, is that it is supposed to bring us clarity in our life and the hereafter. And especially in today's time, we see so many things that is going on, and we are constantly in need to seek clarity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are things in which the other people are agreeing to. There are things that other people are doing in a majority that we feel like just because everybody is doing it, everybody is agreeing upon it, then it is of the truth. But reality is sometimes that is not the case. So through this dua, we are asking Allah, Ya Allah, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a. Ya Allah, show us the truth as truth and inspire us to follow it. And we say, wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. Show us falsehood as falsehood and inspire us to abstain from it. So what it means is that, Ya Allah, if there is truth, show me that it is the truth. And not only show me, give me the courage, the bravery to follow what is of truthful. And Ya Allah, when something is of falsehood, show me, give me clarity that it is a matter of falsehood. And when I am presented with what is of falsehood, give me the courage, give me the bravery to abstain from it. Okay? So let us just take a few seconds to just read this dua together, and I will pass it back to our MC tonight. Okay? So Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma arinal haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba'a. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. Oh Allah, show us the truth as true and inspire us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and inspire us to abstain from it. Amin, Ya Rabbal Alamin. All right, so I shall pass it back to Brother
Yes,
Arik Ashraf. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, thank you, Ustazah, for the insightful sharing. InsyaAllah, we will all be able to benefit from this sharing. We will now proceed to the short Q&A section, looking at the questions from the Padlet. Unfortunately, we only have time to clarify one question. So, Ustazah, if you may help us, you can just pick any question to answer, and the rest of the questions, we will be able to clarify post-event. Yeah. So the questions will be on the left here. Just
Okay,
any one of these.
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for giving me clarity. Okay, so okay, let me see. So the first question that we see here, what can I do as a student to make a conscious effort to include the Quran in my daily life? I think before even including the Quran as part of our schedule, as part of our daily life, right? How we are able to actually work on this is to first learn why is the Quran important in my life? Why do I need to read it? Why do I need to interact with it? Why do I need to learn more about it? When we have our whys sorted out, right, the rest of the things will follow. And when I want to make that conscious effort, right, as a student to include the Quran in my daily life, I understand that sometimes there are so many things to do. We have so many assignments. And sometimes when we reach to the end of the day, we're already shagged and we have no capacity, right, to spend so much time on the Quran. So one of the practices of, if I'm not mistaken, it was Abu Bakr, right, which is one of the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He acknowledged that there were days where he was tired. He acknowledged that there were times where he was not able to really spend so much time on the Quran. But what he did was, even when he was tired, he would take the Quran, he will open it up, or at that moment they were written, right? He would just lay his eyes on the words of the Quran. And that is a conscious effort that he made, although little. And when there were days where he had greater capacity, he had greater time, he would spend some time to read the Quran and learn better or learn deeper with regards to the verses of the Quran. So hopefully that is helpful. On top of that, you know, Quran is what is recited, right? But also what we can do as well, maybe we can listen, right, to the verses of the Quran recited. Maybe we can listen to lectures that speaks about the Quran. Maybe we can, you know, have a halaqa, have a group with our friends, the people that we are comfortable with, to share our favorite portions of the Quran. In any way that you are interacting with the Quran is also the way that you are fostering that relationship with the Quran. So to answer your question, how you can make that conscious effort, right, is to first learn why you need to do so. Find your key motivation behind that. Secondly, is to be creative in the way that you are interacting with the Quran. And on days where you are so tired that you cannot even, right, there are days where we are like that, just take the Quran, just open it up, just take a look at the verses. As the practice of Abu Bakr, whereby we still feel connected to the Quran, although on days we are tired lah, inshallah. Personally, for me, one of the motivations as to why I want to try my best to put it as a conscious effort, right, to include the Quran in my daily life is for the fact that the Quran will be a companion with me in my grief. I won't be with anybody else. I'm not going to be with anything else but that of the Quran. And I don't want that when I'm already in the grave, I'm already alone in the darkness and all of that, to be fearful, right? To be on that journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to be comforted with a companion. And at the same time, alhamdulillah, the Quran gives me great clarity. And whenever I struggle with literally anything, I will just reach the Quran for remedy. Yeah, so that would be my motivation, inshallah. Is that okay, Brother Arik?
Yes, Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Saza, for clarifying, and thank you for the wonderful advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be close companions to the Quran, inshallah. For the rest of the questions, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to answer them now, but we will be providing participants here with the responses post-event on our Telegram and our Instagram. But please do feel free to return to the Padlet to reflect on the other available questions that we have prepared for you. And then, of course, if you have any other further questions, you can still include them and then we will try our best to respond post-event. All right.
Inshallah.
Yeah. So, before ending off the event, in light of recent events, I think Ustazah Hidayah has prepared some resources to share with us. Ustazah, please.
Okay, yes. So in light of recent events, I guess there are so many things that are happening right now, and we are trying our best to fathom and to absorb and acknowledge all of the things that are happening. But at NUSMS has kindly allowed me to share some resources that I have compiled a little bit. But of course there are so many other resources out there, okay? But it is something that you can actually find on my Instagram page, where there is not my effort, but it's the effort of the people who posted it in the first place. And that is when I was able to create all of these guides. But some of the things that we can do, especially during these times, is to, of course, make lots of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read up on what is of the truth, to donate if it is within our capacity. If it's not, then we get others, right, to donate. We share the word to others. And of course, for those who might have little ones around them, if it is your children or your own nieces, your nephews, or your own brothers and sisters, it is also a time where we are able to educate that, inshallah. Yeah. So if you don't know how guides works, it is actually a compilation of postings, be it your own or of people's. And just the best, to say, like, just the best part about this is that you see, Rahmatan Lil Alameen Foundation had put up their humanitarian relief for Gaza, and it will be ongoing until the 31st of October. So I hope that everybody can support it, inshallah. But on this guide, you will see all of these different places and venues that you can donate, inshallah. If you're into reading like me, if you're not into reading, please try to read, because there are so many things that we need to learn more about. So you can look through the postings in which that people have compiled, books that you can actually educate yourself lah, with regards to all that which is happening. And I believe with what is happening right now, there'll be more books coming up, and I hope that we look forward to reading that. But of course, the most important thing is du'as. Right, may our hearts don't not stop making du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many du'as that we can practice that, inshallah, you can explore this particular guide, inshallah. But if there's one thing that I can highlight about du'a, right, is this part. When I saw this post, it was really beautiful, because we are seeing so much on social media right now. And it is important for us to, whenever we see something, right, we make dua for the people, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, and we continue to build on our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Okay, so while we continue to share whatever is needed, we continue to educate ourselves, I want us all to also remember the importance of taking care of our own selves, right, as human beings, as servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the things that we see not harden us and not harden our hearts. May it continue to soften our hearts. May it continue to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may we find things to learn from to better our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, inshallah. Thank you, Ustaz, for the wonderful sharings and resources. Inshallah, as well, in light of the recent events, we'd like to please invite you to help to recite the Doa Qunut Nazilah with us. I'll be sharing my screen first, yeah.
Okay, can. Now after that, we can just wrap up, right? And just make a follow. Straight answer. Okay, can. All right. So Bismillah. Yes.
Yeah, then sorry, after that we just have last few closing statements
Administrative
on our
stuff.
end, yeah, and then after that I will close with the closing doors.
Okay, can. Thank you so much for highlighting that. So why are we reading the Qunut Nazilah, right? It's one of the many du'as that we can recite at this moment in time. And it is also a means of response for us. And Qunut Nazilah is something that can be recited, especially during times of calamity, hardship, or even oppression. And it is a supplication where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, for assistance, for protection, for relief from afflictions and difficulties. And if you take a look through history and how Qunut Nazilah is practiced, It is also recited during times of war, political turmoil, or even natural disasters. Okay, so we're going to read the Arabic parts of the Qunut Nazilah, but to help us understand the things that we recite, we will continue with the translation, which can be found at the bottom after this Arabic portion, lah, inshallah. Okay, so let us put our hands together, inshallah, and read or recite the Qunut Nazilah together. So, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك وإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت فلك الحمد على ما قضيت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نتوجه إليك ونسألك بحق رحمتك ولطفك أن تنظر إلينا وإلى خلقك أجمعين اللهم قد أغلقت الأبواب إلا بابك وقد انقطعت الأسباب إلا إليك ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك الأمن والأمان والسلم والسلام في العالم كله وللناس أجمعين وأديم علينا وعليهم هذه النعم وفي أنفسنا وأنفسهم وأبنائنا وأبنائهم وديارنا وديارهم يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم خذ بأيديهم واحفظهم والطف بهم وكف أيدي الماكرين بهم اللهم كن عونا لهم في شرور الظالمين وارفع عنهم الأذى والظلم وجميع أنواع الفتن والمحن ما ظهر منها وما بطن والطف بهم فيما جرت به المقادير في عافية وسلامة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم تقبل شهداءهم وداوي جرحاهم وأنزل السكينة على قلوبهم وبدل خوفهم أمنا وخزنهم فرحا وهمهم فرجا يا رب العالمين اللهم خل بينهم وبين من عاداهم اللهم ألهمهم رشدهم وافتح عليهم أبواب الحكمة والأمان والعفو والغفران يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأكوان وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم Oh Allah, guide me with those whom you have guided and grant me well-being with those you have granted well-being. Take me to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Bless me in what you have given me. Protect me from the evil you have ordained. Surely you hold the command and are not commanded. And none you have committed to your care shall be humiliated. And none whom you have taken as enemy shall taste glory. You are blessed, our Lord and exalted. All I praise is upon you for what you decide. I seek your forgiveness and I repent to you. O Allah, we turn to you and we ask you by your mercy and gentleness to look at us with care and all your creations. O Allah, all doors have closed except yours and all causes have ceased except yours. There is no might or power except by you, O Lord of the worlds. O Allah, we ask you for safety, security, peace and tranquility for the entire world and to all the people, and preserve this blessing upon us, our children, and our homes, O Lord of all the worlds. O Allah, help our vulnerable brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Palestine. O Allah, help our vulnerable brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Palestine. Oh Allah, help our vulnerable brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Palestine and in all places. Oh, the most merciful of the merciful. Oh Allah, take them by their hand, protect them, be gentle to them, and suppress the deceits. Oh Allah, grant them your protection against the aggressors and remove from them harm and oppression and all kinds of adversity and tribulations, all that which is apparent and hidden. Be gentle upon them from what you have ordained in safety and well-being by your mercy, O the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, reward the victims, treat their wounded, place tranquility in their hearts, secure their fears with assurance, turn their sadness with happiness, O Lord of the worlds. O Allah, come in between them and their adversary. O Allah, inspire them with your guidance, open for them the doors of wisdom, safety, pardon, and forgiveness, O the affectionate, the benefactor, O the creator of the heavens and the universe. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of these du'as from us. And at any point, if you feel heavy, you know, you feel a heavy heart, you feel like you don't know what to do, you can always turn to Kunut Nazila and recite whenever you feel like you want to recite, inshallah.
Thank you, Saza, for reciting the dua with us. May Allah accept our dua. And grant peace and well-being to our brothers and sisters around the world. Alright, with that being said, thank you once again, Saza, there for gracing our event. Inshallah, we will see you again for our final part of Iman series. And with that being said, I would like to thank all our participants here for attending our event. As always, we will recite our closing du'as. May Allah accept all our deeds for tonight and all our du'as. InshaAllah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashadu an la an astaghfirka wa atubu ilaik. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wal asr. Innal insana la fi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. On behalf of the NUSMS 60th Executive Committee, thank you everyone for attending. Thank you, Ustaz Hidayah.